Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, it's time for Roasting the World. Why? Because the world needs roasting. Holy shit, it's been 4 fucking years, guys. And yes, I'm using up all my cuss words now. It's been an awesome 4 years. This brand has grown in the past 4 years. It started with me and Sherry. I guess I'll just throw her out there. And she kind of couldn't work out, so I went through a few other co-hosts, some of my friends stepping in, just kind of helping out. Then, let's see, Lacey stepped in. She stuck around for a little bit. Shane came around, stuck around for a little bit. And then I was like, yo, Logan, you want to come on the show sometime? And Logan's like, yeah, dude, I'll come on. So he comes on, and then afterwards I was like, bro, we should keep doing shows. And he was like, dude, let's do a show. And I was like, let's do a show. And that's pretty much how that conversation went. At least in my mind. I don't know how actually the conversation went, but I'm pretty sure that's about it.
And so, I don't really recall either. I partook in a little bit of
marijuana.
Cannabis calories. Yeah.
But he's stuck around. We got an intern now. Ryan's here. I mean, we got a whole freaking team now for us in the world. But yeah, it's been an awesome 4 years, guys. Cheers to 4 more. Fuck you, Block Talk. We might not have you in the next 4 years, but, you know, whatever. Thank you for letting us use your platform, Block Talk. Yeah, blah, 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 and all that good nonsense.
Yeah, right, like we're currently under them, said, so.
Yeah, we're currently under that right now. But with all that being said, let's jump into this. Yo, need help? Want answers? Could use a laugh? Then look no further than Ask Me LaVise, hosted by Lacey Facey, and co-hosted by me, the king of comedy, Dakota, and co-hosted by the lord of weed, Logan. Like that? Like that? See if I'm a king.
Yeah.
Of weed.
Yeah.
Double Ellen today.
I mean,
today is a sad day, guys. It's a very sad day.
Smash
the singer from Smash Mouth. I know. I'm like, I came home, I lit one up, and started playing freaking All Star on repeat, crying.
All of our heroes are dying because we're getting old.
I mean, honestly, like, if you look into it, we have lost a lot of people.
It's crazy because, like, nowadays, if you ask people about Smash Mouth, they're like, oh, Smash Mouth, whatever. But everybody from our generation knew 99 to, like, 2001, and when, like, All-Star came out, and then when the Shrek movies came out, and they put Now I'm a
Mike
Believer
Myers.
And all that shit.
Yeah.
So, like,
I'm a Believer. So,
was a big part of my childhood. And then Mystery Man was the first time I remember ever seeing it was All-Star for Mystery Man, the soundtrack, so. This is how old I am. I had the cassette of Smash Mouth.
Yeah. Yeah, I think actually my sister had one. I wasn't really a Smash Mouth guy, though, back then.
Well, F you, you're younger than me, so fuck off.
Well, no, it was because I had taste in music that was even older than that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. But,
but that's what happens when you're an alcoholic and you turn yourself into liver cirrhosis, though, bro. You know what I'm saying? It's a sad story.
Yeah.
Things come to the cost.
R.I.P. Smash Mouth, dude. All right, Lacey.
You don't even know
sure.
His name?
I want to say it's Steve.
Steve.
R.I.P. singer guy. Yes, his name is Mr. Mouth. Yeah, right? No? It's kind of like Pink Floyd. One of them is named... No, I'm just kidding. I can't even tell that joke. Anyway.
Use up all your...
Anyway,
you
do
you
have random fan questions? Or?
Yeah, we had quite a few fan questions, and we just picked a few of them out because not a lot of them were on the same topic, so we just picked out... some of the ones that were asked first, you know, and we'll just go through them like that. We had a woman from Florida, which I find humorous because we usually we should pick on Florida a lot because if it's crazy or drug-related or usually
if you ever listen to
we,
the Smash, we got
Florida.
A game called Florida or Drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not used
which,
to getting
which, by the way, Lacey played for the first time on Wednesday. She dominated it, by the way.
Yeah, so I was looking at it at first thinking like it was one of the joke questions that we have. And then as I reread it like a bunch of times, like I apologize because I overlooked her fan question, which was she was asking about mental health and she was saying how advice on self-medicating with drugs and if that is a legitimate thing these days and because we are progressing mental health and treatments and things like that. And, so my apologies, Angela, for overlooking that at first. And it is drugs is the number one self-medicated thing for mental health, you know, because they're looking for something to help them, you know, not just drugs, but alcohol, you know, that's very common. I was a crisis responder for a long time, and most of the people that I've seen went in the jails was due to them. They didn't have the money for insurance, so they self-medicated with anything they could get their hands on, bath salts, you know, anything. So it is still very, very active in the United States and across the world. It's not just the United States, which is another question she had down the way.
Since you brought that up a little bit, like, the self-medication thing in jails, like, Logan, you've been locked up. Is that like a, you think that's one of the major issues with jails? Now, how easy is it for somebody to get something like that in there, though? Because it seems like you're in jail. It should be hard for you to get stuff in there.
What, you come on drugs?
This is like what she said. Say,
all it takes is an asshole and some loose morals, bro.
Yeah. And also, I will say, like, it's a chance in jail, in prison, if they actually use drugs to self-medicate, or they actually get more treatment in jail. They get health care in jail, and they get their mental health is taken care of. Whereas, not always.
Sometimes.
But I'm saying it's more of a chance than on the street, you know. And sometimes that's what they aim for, you know, because that's all they have, you know. They can't afford anything else.
Well, besides that, it's like a vicious cycle, man. I mean, like, you started doing meth because you're super depressed and you realize that amphetamine or an upper makes you feel happy. And you just want that, like, 5 minutes of happiness. Or in this case, it's like 6 to 7 hours, whatever the timeline is, the drug is. But you just want that happiness. And then when you're left after the fact of having that brief moment of happiness, you're left with, like, much more severe depression that's afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
So then you reach out for the same thing that gave you the little bit of happiness before, and it just creates this, like, nonstop cycle. That was my case. I've suffered with depression, anxiety. I have PTSD now, I guess.
Well, let me ask you, like, for to use as an example for them to understand, like, when you were in jail and stuff and you were away from some of that, and then if you were a vicious cycle and you come out and you thought you could use the same dose that you did before and, you know, your body had been without it before, how did you react that way? Were you, did your body have trouble shutting down?
All right, so my situation when it comes to being incarcerated is a little different.
Okay.
I had access to heroin, meth, weed, alcohol, pretty much at any time. I still used drugs in prison up till close to the end of my sentence. I got out of prison. And I was clean for a little while, and then overwhelmed with life, I turned back to using drugs, and then a few minor hiccups, but like where I'm at right now is I'm good. But for some people that don't have same situation as me, I guess, they don't have access to a lot of drugs. You mean like if you do, it takes a really ridiculous amount of money. So it becomes kind of like, I don't know. Have you ever heard of like gabapentin and like Neurontin?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so back when I was going to, when I first started going to prison, they used to give those to people KOP. It means keep on person. That means that they would walk around and they would hand people 800 milligram gabapentins every month. And those were quickly abused. People used to cheat medication, like Klonopin or any kind of benzodiazepine or barbiturates. Anything that people were prescribed that could get people messed up, they used to cheat them and then try and sell them. And so it kind of became like a, I don't know, just you get like people that are in a criminal mindset together and they're going to try and figure out ways to get around the rules. It's just, it's how it's always been. The mentality of everybody inside is it's our job to not get caught. It's their job to catch us. You know, who does their job better. But one of the sadder points, I guess, would be the people that have fried themselves on the drugs. Like, they've cooked themselves to the point where there's no return. I have a very close, something like, I guess I had something like that kind of hits close to home with me. I have an older sister that's completely just mind gone. You know, she spends her time in and out of psych wards. She was very smart. She's very cool. She had a very great personality. But the person that's existing in that shell now is not the same person that it was 20 years ago. Wow. And hers was the kind of the same situation. She was suffered from depression, bipolar, things like that. And she started using heroin to kind of make life a little bit easier. But as far as, like, the accessibility in prison, there's always going to be
drugs. Really depends on where you're located, too, what prison you're located, and kind of, like, honestly.
Who you're
like
around.
Your area and our area where you were located, where you were in jail and prison, is a lot different than our area. Our little prisons are not like – are not like that.
One of my main... I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, you're fine. I'm just saying our little ones, you know, we usually send off to other states, you know, for penitentiary things like that. Our jails are a lot, you know, a lot smaller and a lot where we can actually give, like, we have a nurse on staff that's, like, more individual because the numbers are less to the actual nurse number. So, you know, you're able to get different attention. You're able to give more mental health, even though mental health treatment, even though the Tennessee is a way behind other states, we have that because our jails and things like that are a little smaller where you don't have that in a lot of mass areas where a mass population is at. And, you know, like you said, you still had access to all those things. One, there's so many people there, and, you know, you hear stories everywhere. I'm not saying it's everywhere, but you have jailers that actually bring in or the dealers in some of those places, you know?
Correct. That was my main, I don't know, skill base back in the day was extortion or corruption. I mean, I've read enough psychology books. I've studied enough Robert Greene to basically, if I can make a CO start calling me by my name instead of my number, within a month I'll have him bringing me heroin.
Yeah,
bottom line.
It's almost like that trust that you build with them, and they desperately want you to trust them, and they will do. It is. It's like in all the psychology books that you read, you know, because you study about the human, what people want acceptance, and they want to help people as much as possible, and they want that connection with people, and you see where people. If you just look at like professions out there, like the ones that have the corrupt in them, a lot more corrupt population is where in the professions where you're trying to help people.
Correct. It's easy to turn someone's will and desire to help into greed, because greed is always underlined. Greed is always
underlying.
There's an underlying...
a fine line. There's a fine line there that you have to be careful with, and you can't cross. And like,
correct.
Can't cross it, meaning as you can't cross them to actually help them. Like you can cross day you want to and choose to, but that's when you become corrupt. Like you have to play at that line.
Dance on the line. And I always tell people, man, like I've had conversations with people. Like I was at a gym here by not too well. It's been a while now, but I was working up there, and this guy I used to work out with, I didn't know it, but he was a state patrol. And his brother that he would work out with was a corrections officer. And I guess they seen me take my shirt off when we were working out one time, and they recognized a lot of prison tattoos. And he started asking me questions, and I gave it to him like this. I said, listen, if you're trying to therapeutically assist people, become a fucking doctor. Don't try and be a therapist as a CO. Because your job is to be a glorified babysitter and to make sure that they don't hurt themselves or hurt each other. Or basically patrol and make sure that they're not breaking any rules or violations. That's your job. Your job isn't to sit there and listen to them. Your job isn't to sit there and level with them. Your job is not to sit there and look at them as a human being. Because, I mean, what I can say is from my experience, that was my way in. If I could have someone, if I knew that I could look in their eyes and they looked at me as a human being, they looked at me as a person, not a monster, not this thing that they should have looked at me as, because I was. That's exactly what I was. I was a wolf in sheep's clothing at any point in time that I needed to be. And you have to understand that our lives in there consisted of spending 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 52 months out of the year. We were there. And the only thing we thought about was how to come up, how to get what we wanted, or how to make our time more amicable.
Survival.
And if that came at the expense of someone's job, that was a cop anyway. I have several friends that are doing really good now, mind you. They're doing really good on their own businesses. But we were all very apt in the ability to humanize ourselves to a point where, I mean, I'll say I had cops bringing me heroin, meth, cigarettes, weed, cell phones, bullets, tattoo ink.
I think it's their job. They forget, like you said, you can't be the therapist. You're there to be to make sure they have a specific job that they have. And it's where they have confidence in themselves that they're helping people by doing their actual job. It's where they think they have to make you a human. They have to make a difference in that way. And instead, they actually just need you to do your job with that hard love that you need. Because if you just humanize them, like you said, and then allow them to get, and it's the truth, you know, to get in their mind and to manipulate them into thinking they're helping you by bringing you more things in, which is why you're in there in the first place, then you're not helping them.
Right.
So the
basic breakdown is this. If I can get you to break one rule that'll take your job away from you, I can now get you to bring in anything I want, because now I have the power over you. So
this
people would
be
trying
episode,
to help.
Did you guys ever watch King of the Hill growing up?
Yeah.
There's an episode of King of the Hill. You know how Peggy's like the substitute teacher and all that, right?
She gets written
by like an, it's supposed to be like an old student of hers, but it really isn't. But like, she goes
and the dude's having her bring in those sand hourglasses, and it's full of drugs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
It's simple as that.
It's very simple as that, man. Like, I'll tell you this, man. I had the chaplain in my prison bringing me 2 ounces of butt a week, probably about 45 grams of liquefied methamphetamines every week. Because I just slapped a label on it that said religious items, and it became kinnikinick.
Yeah.
It became kinnikinick, and liquefied meth was my oils for religious stuff. And, yeah.
The dude didn't know anything about it, though, right? Like, he didn't know
not
he
at
was
first.
Doing that.
No, not at first. Not at first. But then when I hit him with the old shock and awe, he didn't have a choice at that point because he'd already brought me in, from my estimates, about 1,000 grams of meth, probably like 25 ounces of meth of weed.
Let me ask you this, though. What if, like, they knew...
When I hit him
like,
with the number...
Knew,
when
like,
I hit him
okay,
with the...
He wouldn't be involved in this, but, like, he... I got involved by accident, like, you know, just bringing it in, didn't know it.
Right.
And he
so the chaplain,
up,
when he got...
Straight up, was like, no, I didn't know about it, bro. You know, this is all his shit.
That's what we're talking about, where they step across that line where they think that they can do more instead of the job that they're in there to do. Like, and so they let their guard down.
Yeah.
And so that's what happens.
If you even...
But, like,
as a former gang member...
Because you said he didn't know at first, right? And then
after he found
out, he didn't have a choice. He didn't have a choice after he found out.
Correct, because by that point, I had already used him to traffic in a federal indictment, essentially, if he wanted to say
right,
something.
Right, that's what I was going to get at. It was like, what if he just straight up was like, fuck it, I'm going to go say something.
Well, if he had said something, then I would have still been in prison, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, what are they going to do, send me to jail?
Would have still been in prison, but he would also have lost his job, even if he was honest. And, you know, that's where that all comes into play. Yeah. That's what happens. It's a blackmail there at the end, and that's why they're able to keep them doing what they want to do. Is because at that point, it's either, you know, sink or swim at that. That's how they believe. It's either sink or swim at that point.
And it's easy to do that with people when they have good in their heart and their good intentions, right? And I know this makes me sound like a really horrible person because, trust me, I have my own demons that I fight with every night, thinking back on a lot of the bad things I've done. But one of the reasons I talk about this isn't to glorify the actions that I did, but it's to help prevent the same things that I've done or that I've had happen or that occurrences that happened to me from happening to somebody else. If I was proud of this kind of stuff, I'd be sitting there and I'd be talking to homeboys that are locked up and I'd be spitting game at them, teaching them how to do it. But instead, I would rather come onto a platform like this where we can talk about it openly and people can possibly save their job, save their life, save their career, save their reputation. Because if a person is seemingly nice in prison, if you are looking at that person going, man, it doesn't make sense you're in prison. You seem like such a nice guy. Let me tell you, you're being played.
Yeah. And I think from a different point because, like you said, you've been there and you know, even though you're in a different place now, you've been there. You know, now you're educating people so that they don't get used that way. And I'm here to tell you from the good-hearted person that gets taken advantage of. Like, I knew my weaknesses before I got into them. Okay, so
right.
I know that I got a soft heart. I know that I've got a heart of forgiveness and understanding and a humanizing thing. The good thing was that I was able to talk about my future where a lot of people aren't, and I'm glad that we have platforms like this we can talk to them about it, that I knew what jobs not to get into. I would not be a good person to work in a jail 24/7. Why? Because I'm one of those people. I know I wouldn't be able to help them to their full potential in that position that because there's that fine line there that I couldn't cross. And I would always want to save everybody. You can't do that. Like, that's a place where they have to want it themselves to save themselves as much as somebody else wants to save them. So I would not be good in that situation. But I am good in a platform like this, you know. So
absolutely. Where everyone's on a level ground and you're not having to face that kind of manipulative factor. One of the big things for me man, and I hate doing that to people now. Like, I hate, like, even kind of, like, looking back on those, like, moments in time. But for me, the imminent threat of physical violence towards you or your family was always there. I mean,
yeah.
The organization in which I was associated with, bad people, man, hurt your family.
Yeah.
They'll kidnap your kids. They'll take your brother, hold him in the back of a truck until you guys pay the money. Like, we dealt in blood and violence. It was the currency. The currency that we had was fear, blood, and violence. And we didn't have to have any money because at the end of the day, I mean, the statement that I would always make to cops is I dictate whether you go home today or not. Your wife, your kids that go to this school, your wife that works at this job, and I would list off the location both, let them know that I know, draw them a map to their house from the prison on a napkin and hand it to them. Write down their kids' social security numbers on a piece of paper and just throw it out on the pier. So when the cop's walking around, he picks it up and he sees his kid's first name, last name, social security number, address, school, and they're like, what the fuck is this? Right?
Yeah.
What's that?
Sorry.
Yeah. And you just create a little bit of doubt in their mind. And then when you approach them on a situation, you'd be like, hey, did you get my message?
Right.
And, you know, and at that point, the only thing you can do is either turn in your badge and get a location change on your job and pray to God that we don't get you first.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can play ball. And when you play ball, we're going to make it seem like it's worth your while because we're going to be paying you an outlandish amount of money to do the things that we need you to do. And we'll make you feel safe. We'll make you feel invincible. But the second that no longer works for me, I will throw you out to dry. I'll throw you out to hang. And I'll use you as a bullet shield the entire time. It was not... I could show you my hand,
right.
But it was never what it was, right? But the manipulation and the big aspect of it is in an environment like that, no one comes out clean. No one. Nobody goes in there a good person and comes out the same good person. I've never seen it.
Right.
In 10 years of incarceration, I've seen good people come to prison. And if they're not killed, beat up, raped, completely just mangled, then what happens is they either go that route or they become the exact thing that they don't wish to be.
Yeah.
Like, you'll have good guys come in on stockbrokers, man, that come in that lead killers, like stone-cold killers. If you ever have the chance to watch a movie, it's called Shot Caller. I think it's on Netflix.
I've seen it.
What is it?
He
said he's seen it, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, Shot Caller. It's there's a few factors in the movie that aren't exactly accurate. Like, they would never take a DUI murder case and put him on a violent yard. But
right.
Given the proper circumstances, that exact story is the same story for so many people. Buddy of mine, while I was in prison with him, came into prison for, I think he didn't snitch his brother out, but his brother was selling pills. He gave the pill to some kid. The kid died. He got a manslaughter charge. He came in for 5 years. He's never getting out of prison. He winded up getting a piece of metal put in his hand, and they told him, go stab this dude, and if you don't do it, we're going to stab you. And he went over and stabbed this dude, and they caught him for it. And they gave him 15 years, and while he was doing that 15-year bit, mutual combat came up. He had a knife. The other guy didn't have a knife. He stabbed the dude to death. Now he got another murder charge. He's looking at life without. And all the kid was doing was defending himself and doing what he had to do to survive. But getting back to the point of everything, back to the question and back to the kind of point, the drugs inside prison are what fuel all of this.
Mm-hmm. Then that's kind of what I wanted you to be able to express that, because I know a lot of people with mental health that they can't afford it in their mind, because a lot of in our small little jails and stuff like that, prison's totally different. Our jails and stuff, I know that people, they do little petty crimes so they can get in, so they can get food and they can get treatment, stuff like that. But if you do something like she was asking, like to go prison-wise, and they take care of your mental health there, and drugs and stuff like that, because that's what she did, what she was asking about, doing drugs and stuff for self-medicating, it's not going to help you there, because it's like you said, it's gonna be this huge thing. What I encourage for you to do is that there's small programs now. You reach out even to a local doctor's clinic now. If you go in and you're telling them that you're having trouble with your mental health, okay, there's programs now that you can go through that you can get medicine, like through Walmart, because there's a $4 list now at Walmart for your mental health medications and things like that. I'd rather somebody do that than them do something with drugs to self-medicate, and with the hopes of them going to jail because of that, so they can get treatment. Does that make sense?
Correct.
Like I would much rather them do that. I think they
Fun
would
fact.
Have more success, you know, because
absolutely.
Like you said,
absolutely.
Listen to how he says it works in there. Like that's, you would never get out. You would not go in the same, and you wouldn't come out the same.
Fun fact, on some maximum prison yards where I'm at, like where I've been located, we call it GP or mainline. It's where the general population of everybody goes to. If you're a white boy and you land on my prison yard and I'm running the yard, you're not taking your psych meds.
Yeah.
I'm not going to let you, because I don't need somebody doled out by the effects of their antidepressants or their schizophrenic medications. I need somebody who's foaming at the mouth, ravaged like a dog, sitting there at the end of my chain that I've got, which is going to be heroin. I'm going to keep you, like I said, this is not who I am today, but at the time, this was my mind frame. I would find people that were mentally not sound.
Mm-hmm.
I would deny them their psych meds. I would give them heroin. And with that, I now controlled them. I controlled whether they killed, whether they fought, whether they shoved a package up their ass and walked it out to yard. If I told them to shove a handgun up their asshole, they'd have done it. Because now I hold the only key to sanity that they think that they have left. Because they're not allowed to take drugs. They're not allowed to take, like, psych meds. Because I need a person who's unpredictable. I need a person who is deranged. I need a person who's wild, who everyone kind of avoids because they're kind of crazy. But I need to have them on a hook. So I would use those drugs, meth, heroin, Suboxone, weed, whatever it was, their kick, alcohol. I would use that in supplement for their mental health medications, which is never going to be conducive to their benefit, ever. And I would use that as a means of control. I did it for 10 years. There was a guy we had, we called him Schizo, because he was schizophrenic. And we didn't let him take his medication. And the dude was insane. He needed help. But because he was kind of buff, because he was kind of big, because he was kind of scary, I kept him off his meds, kept him on the heroin for years. And he winded up dying of a drug overdose in prison. And that was my fault. And
there was, for example, I had one that was so far gone, and they had sent him to a smaller facility, hoping, because they put him in isolation. They thought it would help him out. You know, Tennessee, we don't have a lot of big penitentiaries and things like that. And I mean, he was literally, of course, he was isolated himself, and he was, of course, stripped naked because he was a suicidal. And like you said, he had been high on all these drugs because they had been using him to do things to different places. And literally, he was bashing his head into the wall. They had to drain his toilet out in his cell because he was actually trying to drown himself in the toilet, you know?
Right.
Because in his mind, he was afraid because now he was in this place and they were trying to give him mental health medications that he was going to tell secrets that he shouldn't be telling. And, you know, because they had been holding his medication in this other place, he did kill himself. There was nothing in his cell. He literally killed himself with bashing his head into the wall, you know, because there's nothing he can really do. Yeah. Even though they put him into a smaller room, he was good for like 2 days. They put him back into the one with that's just, you know, a cell with brick walls, and he killed himself. He just hit himself harder that time. But that's how, you know, they're used in that position, and then when they're without it, they don't know how to function. And they are terrified because, like you said, you know, they're owned at that point, and they know if they mess up that it's going to be even worse if they tell something, you know.
Right, and that was the other part of it, too, is because when people start becoming, like, I guess the best term I could come up with is lucid, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, that's the best term I can come up with is a lucid moment. They're going to have a flood of emotions.
And it is a moment.
Yeah, and it's a moment. And they're going to have a flood of emotions. Because number one, if I've used, like I said, speaking from the person of my past, if I've used somebody up to do some pretty nasty shit, when they become lucid, they're going to be emotional about that. I can't have that. Because now I've got a person walking around saying, oh, yeah, this guy told me to do this, and now I feel bad, so I'm willing to take the stand, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was never an option for people. Yeah. And so, I mean, I don't want to go back to prison, so, I mean, I watch what I say. But a lot of nasty things happen to people because of those moments.
We've got about 8 minutes left of the show, guys. Sorry to interrupt everybody. We got about 8 minutes left. I got a couple random news stories and a couple ads. So,
thanks, Logan, for sharing that, by the way.
Thank you, Logan, for sharing that. I was gonna circle back around everything. So tonight's episode is sponsored by the letter P for pot. That's right. Logan and Dakota paid for an ad on At the Levice. Listen to the stash on Wednesday night, guys. We're also sponsored by Fruit Punch Gym. That's right, the first gym for gay boxers. And Ric Flair for school president. It don't say which school, but he will chop his way to victory. Remember, it's only fair if you vote for Flair. And last and not least, Johnny's Roadkill Cafe. You hit it, they will fry it. Third with your choice of dipping sauce, and as long as it's ketchup, it's free. That's right. And those are our ad for this week. Filed that right in the cabinet. All right, and our random news stories is three men fight a bear at their local zoo. They were drunk, and so was the bear.
Yeah, you'd have to get me pretty fucked up to sit there and think this is a good idea to box a bear. So, I mean.
Yeah, no.
That's definitely Florida.
Yeah. No offense to our fan question. Girl today. Yeah.
That's either fucking Florida or Alaska or Russia. There's only like three places where that's going to happen.
And then, Lacey, this one is close to home because you just asked me about this last week, so I did some research on them. The napper is back. Let's see here. The man was found napping naked in his new neighbor's home. He was found in their bed.
Why?
Logan doesn't
understand.
Ambien.
Ambien
is a hell of a drug.
Yeah.
We've came across this dude five times. He even napped while he was in jail in somebody else's cell. This guy needs to be stopped. He's a serial napper. He needs to be fucking stopped. This one was good.
Ambien's a hell of a drug, bro. I'm just saying.
Oh, man.
Dream you're driving down the interstate, taking a piss out the window. Wake up, driving down the interstate, taking a piss out the window. Not for me personally, but someone I might know.
You leave me out of this. Lacey's like, I've never let Dakota and Logan on the show. They're gonna talk about pissing in the window.
Sponsored by Ambien. Get a good night's rest and bake a cake in your microwave with toothpaste.
Jailhouse cake.
Bro, listen, so I took an Ambien and I thought I was making a cake And I woke up in prison covered. My whole cell was covered in, like, talcum powder, and my cellie was pissed. And I'm like, what are you so mad about? And he's like, what do you mean? It looks like Pablo Escobar done, like, blew up in this place. And it was just, everything was covered in talcum powder. He was trying to wake me up, and I was just, like, standing there, like, stepbrothers moment, where they're just, like, in the kitchen banging on shit. Yep.
All right, guys. I do want to take this time to thank you guys for being part of the brand. You guys are awesome. We could not grow without you guys. Lacey, you do so much behind the scenes shit for us. A lot of people don't know Lacey does all the behind this shit, behind the scenes shit, like sets up all the fucking
everything.
Pages. And, yeah, she does all that.
Everything.
Everything.
She does the researches. She makes sure she Dakota asks her like 50 times a week what she thinks she was talking about.
Motivation. Morale.
Yeah, we got her an intern, but he's not working out too well. He got fired from his old job at Sonic or some shit. But whatever.
He got fired, and so I ended up hiring my own brother to come on to help out a little bit.
But see, Ryan's above an intern already, though. Like, he came in as a co-host. We brought him right on.
He really
as a co-host. Yoder's still just an intern because he never shows up for the shows.
He
name dropped him more than he's been on this damn show. Everybody knows that.
Oh, fact.
We've name dropped Yoder more than he's been on the shows.
Yep, we've given him nicknames and everything.
Yeah, skipper ass. No, it's been a fun 4 years doing these shows, guys. Like, I think the coolest part of it is all the people I got to meet, and then all the people I got to bring together doing the show.
Because,
like, right now, we're all, like, me and Lacey live in the same, like, same area, but we're in two different little towns. Logan's in a totally different state. Yoder's in a totally different state. Shane's in a total, I mean, like, we're all in totally different states, so it's like, you know, like, we all come together to do the show for that, and then, like, when we have guests come on, I've met so many random ass people over the years that were awesome. Shout out to all the guests that's been on my, I want to say my favorites, and this will piss some people, piss off some other guests, but my favorites will have to be Russ and Sandy. You guys are awesome. They're ghost hunters. So check out their stuff, guys. They are freaking amazing. But they've been on a few times. Cool as shit. They're stoners. We need to get them on the stash one night. They're cool.
Yeah.
But
I'd love to hear their ghost stories and Logan's.
Like there's so many of them. Like she can see them, and like he can like he's like sensitive to them and stuff. Like it's so like. Like, when I say it, it sounds funny, me saying it, but, like, you got to hear them tell the stuff because it's so just, like, they're awesome people. Like, they do their own podcasts. In fact, when we get done, I'll hit them up and see if they want to come on in a couple weeks or something.
Halloween.
Because they're cool people. Oh, that would be awesome, get them on for Halloween. But, yeah, because they haven't been on
cool.
in a couple, about a year or so.
See, even when I'm
you
not
guys
working.
Can't hear it, but I just, the little British lady just told me 9 days that gets. That's never getting old. After 4 years of hearing 90 seconds.
Real quick, you have sex on Wednesday and a too much nerd talk on Thursday, which the topic for that is Digimon anime versus Pokemon
Digital
anime.
Monsters, Digimon, Digital Monsters.
What?
Yep. Digimon. Anyway. Just wanted to throw that out there. thank you
awesome.
For the
Logan, thank you for coming on and doing a letting us know your backstory on some shit too, dude. Because that was a good insight on that.
Well, it gives us a full perspective, like you said. So I'm very grateful for that. You know, even though you say you don't like talking about your past, I'm grateful that you are able to talk about it so they can help people in the future not. Repeat some of the things, and also you did continue doing well too because you've seen how far you've come. So
I don't really care to talk about that stuff if it's like in a conducive environment where people can get something from it. What I don't like is the fan clubs. I don't like And believe it or not, there's a big group of people out there that think that stuff's cool, man. They think that stuff's fun. They think that it's heroic or something. I don't know. It's really naive, but
yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But it's been fun, guys. And like she said, tune in Wednesday for the stash topic to be yet announced. Me and him never really have a topic anymore. We just kind of go with it. It's awesome, though. Those are our best episodes.
I've got
Thursday is going to be about Digimon, like she said. Tune in next Monday for another Ask Me Levice. And like I said, guys, it's been a great 4 years. Cheers to 4 more. And fuck it. Let's go smoke some pot. All right.
Yeah.
Lacey, this is your show. I kind of just took it over. This is your show, by the way. Anything you want to add to your show?
It's time that little British lady said it, and you say the most important thing is to remember to
always roast the world. Why?
Because
the world needs roasting.
Yay! Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye, y'all.